Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Herbert McLean, Herbie Mac. I'm the encourager. And you know, I am here this morning in my new place. And I'm moving some things from my old place and moving into the new. And while I'm doing that, you know, God is dealing with me as he always does. And I just want to come on for the very first time from my new location. Before I get into this word, I do want to talk about spiritual opposites, a lesson on the dynamics of spiritual opposition. And I'm definitely going to get there. But first, I just want to, you know, put some prayer requests out there. And one prayer request that is really dear to my heart is Pastor John White, which is a good friend and my brother in Christ, has been attacked by respiratory heart issues. And he was in a coma, but we have good news. That he is out of the coma via a source on Facebook that has a praise report, and he's on his road to recovery. And we're going to continue to keep him and the White family in our prayers. I believe that God is able to restore, deliver, heal, and set free. And I thank God for the intervention of medical science, which is very, very, very good to have. And I'm just glad that God gave us medical science and knowledge to help us in the things that attack our body. All right, with that said, let's just remember those who are affected by these wildfires and this flooding that's hitting other parts of our nation. Let us pray for the war in Ukraine. Let us just keep God involved in our daily affairs and invoke God and petition God to move on our behalf concerning all of our needs and wants and desires when it comes to our family, the protection of our children. Good morning, Pastor Tate. Let's just keep everybody in prayer. Let's go to prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for another beautiful morning with our minds stayed on you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that's present, that's new, that's fresh. We've never had this before, and our hearts are grateful. Father, but our hearts are also heavy with the needs and the concerns of those in whom we love. And so we petition you this morning for more grace. We know that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all, and we seek you for guidance, healing, protection, and strength even now. And we trust you no matter what has attacked us. We know that we have the victory in you, that we are in Christ, we are in that position to receive the blessings and the inheritance of thy kingdom. So God, let your kingdom come on earth in our affairs as it is in heaven. And Father, we thank you for the food that you have provided, the shelter that you've provided, the love and the care. We thank you for just being there. You are a God who's there. You're here. You're everywhere. and you concern yourselves with the matters of our affairs, and we thank you right now. We thank you for answering our prayers and healing our body and touch our mind, regulating our souls. We thank you for the faith that is going from one level of faith to another level of faith this morning. From one experience of glory to another experience of your glory. From one experience of your strength to another level of strength that's found only in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk about spiritual opposites. I want to talk about the dynamics. Now, when I use the word dynamics, I'm talking about that thing that works underneath the surface of a thought. It's something that works underneath the surface of a thought. Now, remember, when words are spoken to you, like they're being spoken to you now, those words carry power. That power is activity that takes place inside us once we receive that word, whatever the word may be. It doesn't necessarily have to be a word of God out of the Bible. It could be a word from somebody else. As soon as we get the news, as soon as we hear about something, the content of that word has energy. It has power. It's going to do something if you listen, and definitely if you take heed to it. Well, when it comes to dynamics, we understand that when a word is spoken or given to us, it does something inside. That's a dynamic. It's something that we necessarily cannot see with the visible eye, but we definitely can feel it, and we can even feel it physically. We can feel it mentally. We can feel it emotionally because words carry power or a particular energy. That energy can be positive energy or negative energy, okay? And so now when we're talking about spiritual opposites, we're talking about those things that are underneath the surface and that causes a person to feel a certain way if you believe like this. And if you believe like that, it's going to have a dynamic, a shift where you're going to feel or go in the direction of that word. It's going to have an influence on you. So whenever you are a carrier of the truth, you're going to have a spiritual opposite. There are those who hold things to be dear to themselves that may not necessarily be dear to you, or something that they should not cherish, or to give them something to cherish and to treasure even more. We're giving them some material, some content. We're giving them some word, some knowledge, and we're trying to shift them in such a way. When you are spiritual, people are going to try to shift you this way, or you're going to try to shift somebody that way. What are we talking about? The dynamic. Now, there's going to be opposition, definitely, if you are of Christ. Now, you just better rest assured that if you have any truth within you, the truth of Jesus Christ, whenever you try to purport that to somebody who necessarily doesn't hold those things to be dear, is going to cause a dynamic shift within them, and that dynamic shift is going to have an effect. They may say a word, or they may not say a word, but they might feel depressed or offended by something you said. That's why you got to understand that the power of life and death is in your tongue. In other words, you have the ability to change something else in a way where nobody else could see, but they most definitely can experience based on your word. Now, there is what I always try to make a distinguish in, and that is there is a distinguishment in the church that is very important for people to understand and grasp. It's important because you begin to see things from different perspectives. Now, the way that I see them, the way that I hold dear, because it helps me arrange my thoughts in a way where I understand and I'm able to position myself to live in this age. And we are in a church age. This church age consists of what I call a visible church and an invisible church. The visible church is those group of people that we see assemble every Sunday. We see them assemble at their place of worship. Some of these places have the name of their facility plastered on the outside so people can recognize that this is the church. That is what you call a visible church. If you go to Rome, you'll see big cathedrals and big skyscrapers that's labeled as a church because that's visible. We see them. I wish somebody would say, I see you over there on the corner. There's a church on that corner, and there's a church on that corner. We see the church. But then there is the invisible church. There's a church that we don't see. There's a church within the church. Come on now. Everybody that goes to the visible church is not necessarily a part of the invisible church. Some people go to the visible church in order to try to find a wife or husband. Some people go to visible church in order to try to steal a blessing and still don't devote their life to Christ. Some people go to a visible church because it is a money maker and they trying to get their money. You have all kind of people that assemble at the visible church. But in that visible church, there is an invisible church, and that is the true body of Christ who nobody really knows because only God sees the heart of a man. You can make your mouth fried chicken. You can make your mouth melt ice cream. But you can't change your heart unless Jesus comes into your life and change your heart. There are some people whose hearts have not been changed. And so we have these two churches that we can't see. If you were to define it even more, you would say that the visible church is how man sees the church, and the invisible church is how God sees the church. Now, I made this distinction, and I made much of this distinction before I get into the word, because I want you to see this dynamic as I talk about this word that is taking over me this morning, and I want to give it to you. Now, if you get your Bible and you go to the book of 2 Timothy, we're going to be reading a few scriptures from Timothy that I want to make much of. And the reason why I want to make much of is because the Apostle Paul, he was writing to his spiritual son, a dynamic shift that took place when Paul communicated with Timothy. He introduced him to Christ, right? And so Paul is writing this letter to his son Timothy, and he's given him some great inspirational instructions. He's given him dynamic shifts. He's given him spiritual truth. And when we glean from this letter, I believe that it's going to help us understand better our position and our opposition. Now, it's important to note that Timothy was a prognosticator of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was assimilating truth within his culture, his community, and in his neighborhood. And the Apostle Paul recognized that everybody that comes to Timothy is not a part of the visible church. They may be a part of the visible church, but they're not a part of the invisible church. But the opposition is going to come within the church. Notice here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says, but know this, in verse 1, hard times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid these people, the Apostle Paul writes. He goes on to say, for among them are those who worm their way into household and deceive gullible women, overwhelmed by sins and led astray by a variety of passions, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. They are men who are corrupt in mind and worthless in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their foolishness will be clear to all, as was the foolishness of Jannes and Jambres. Now, let me talk about Jan and Jam, okay? That's what we're going to abbreviate those names right there. Jan and Jam were Egyptian musicians that tried to mimic the power of God that was being demonstrated in Moses. If you read the story in the beginning with Moses and his confrontation with these musicians, they were trying to outdo God. Well, God outdid them, if you read the story. They were foolish to try and to mimic the power of God. If you look at what's going on in the church today, you will see a lot of musicians or musicians trying to mimic the truth of God. They exchange philosophy for truth. They purport their own mind and their own conclusions about life without consulting the truth of God, or without being in alignment with revealed truth. So for the truth bearer, there's going to be opposition that comes from within the church. And the reason why that opposition is going to come within the church is because we have the mergence of invisible with visible. Those who are converted with those who aren't converted. Jesus says the wheat and the tare will grow together. And it's going to be so hard to be able to identify who these are, because we only know them by their profession and confession of faith. But notice now in the Bible, there's a recognition of the visible church and the invisible church. Why? Because he says the wheat and the tare are going to grow together. And he also says that if you believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Well, what's the intent of the confession? Because if you already believe in your heart, God already knows. So what is God's intent on us giving confession? The intent of confession, beloved, is for those who are a part of the visible church will be able to identify you as a believer in Christ. Because there's no other way to identify somebody else as a believer in Christ except upon their profession and confession of faith. And as soon as somebody said, well, I confess Christ, he's my Lord and my Savior, we as the people of God don't have the right to question that relationship with them and God. But we can rest assured in that confession, at least because we know the power of God, that if he is playing with God, eventually God's going to touch him. If he keeps being around the fire, we hope that he gets warm, right? We don't second guess somebody that comes and confesses Christ. That's why he says, believe and confess that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. The reason why you confess is for the visible church, is for others who place their faith in Jesus Christ to be able to identify you. Or to be able to come together with people of like faith and where we worship together and praise God together, sing songs together, and float in the spirit together. Come on now. That's how we do it, based on our profession. I know you, Pastor Tate, based on your profession. I know everybody else, my spiritual mothers and my brothers and sisters and all of you, but based on your profession, I know Jesus. He saved me. I had an experience with Jesus. And what happens? I believe you. Amen. Because that's all I got, but I can't see your heart. I don't know whether the constitution of your heart has been changed or not. I don't know whether you saved or not. I don't know whether it's just a religion or not. I don't know if you received Jesus or not. Only thing I can say is you said that you love Jesus. And then if I have any time to live with you, I'll at least be able to see Christ demonstrated in your life. But even that, because we got so much church entity going on, you don't even know about that, because a lot of people are doing good deeds that appear to be Christ-like, but not necessarily is of Christ. It can be of some other type of philanthropic philosophy and not necessarily the knowledge of truth. So I said that to say opposition is going to come from within the visible church, because opposition is going to breed difficulty. Notice here now, when he opens up chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, but know this. If you don't know nothing else, you need to know this. He says, hard times will come in the last day. In the last days. In other words, difficulty is going to come, and everything that he depicted from verse 1 to verse 9 is the consequence of the hard time. Now, notice, you got to watch out for certain people, and they describe it in verse 2 and verse 4 to verse 5. It says, but avoid these people. When you see them and their behavior being in an unloving way, irreconcilable, are they slanderers and stuff like that? You got to be careful, because the dynamic shift takes place when you get around this type of knowledge, or you get in contact with these particular ideas. They will most definitely cause opposition, spiritual opposition. Now, notice here in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, after telling him this in chapter 3, in verse 4, he gives him the admonition. Or here it is, he gives him the dynamic shift within, because if you take in these words, right? You know this hard time is going to come. You know it's going to appear in people that act like this. We just read it. Now he's giving him the shift. And if you get the shift, it's going to shift you into another dimension in Christ today. Now remember, we are operating on new mercy. What God is doing right now is a new thing. He's shifting us dynamically to be able to withstand opposition. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, so you can't get away, and because his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word. In other words, you got to proclaim. Proclaim the truth, beloved. Don't stop proclaiming the truth. And the truth is not based on how we feel. The truth is based on who God is. If God said it, it's a done deal. It's immutable. It cannot change. It cannot bend. It cannot falter. It's not based on how we feel and what we think is right. It's what God says is right, is right. So truth is always objective and not subjective. Truth stands outside of me and without me. If I'm a lover of the truth, I'm going to do what I got to do to get that truth in me. I got to go after it. I got to seek it. But if truth is subjective, then I'm not seeking nothing but myself. And what does he say? He says, for people will be lovers of self. Lovers of self. Lovers of self is based on whether what I say is truth or whether what God says is true. He says, preach the word. The word is truth. The word is Christ. The word is objective. He stands alone. He stands alone. With or without us, he remains unmovable. He can't change. So when he says preach the word, he's saying preach Christ. He said give them Christ, the truth. Preach it. Proclaim it. Why? Because when you proclaim it, it's going to cause a dynamic shift within the minds, the emotions, and the thought of the individual that hears it. But it's going to bring out you. In fact, when you bring a person truth, you are bringing the opposition. So you know they're going to oppose you because you're standing up opposing them with the truth. In other words, I'm the first person who swung on you, but I come in peace. And a lot of people don't realize how violent the truth is. Because when you tell the truth, you will hurt some feelings. When you tell a person the truth and they begin to see the truth about themselves, that's what scares a person, number one. As soon as you tell them about Jesus, they can't help but compare themselves with Jesus. And oh, what a shame. Truth. Hey, Shalonda, Miss Corner, God bless you. Truth, truth, truth. And he says what? Preach the word. The word is objective. You are not the one who died on Golgotha's hill. You did not become the substitute for humanity. You are not the example of what righteousness is. Righteousness indeed has been imputed to you by virtue of your faith in Christ. But let me tell you something. Christ is the one who earned it. That's the only way that we get in on this righteousness of God. Because our righteousness is filthy rag. So the truth is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And if we're going to preach the word, then we got to preach the truth. Jesus is the truth. Yahweh, Yahshua, the Messiah. He's the truth. So if we're going to tell it, we got to tell it like it is. Why he came, what he did. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy this. Look, the opposition is going to come from within the church when you tell the truth. Now, notice he says, preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. You know what that means? That means if you feel like it or if you don't feel like it. There are some people. There are some people that you ever had somebody just get on your nerve immediately And as soon as they get on your nerve, you check them. I didn't come to check you. I didn't come to try to tell you what's right and what's wrong. I'm just doing what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden, you come and get on my nerve. Now I got to set you straight. I didn't feel like doing it, but I'm doing it. I'm ready, in season or out of season. Whether you say, hey, let's talk, I need some counseling, I need some prayer, I need some instructions or whatever, guess what? Now I can feel like doing it. I can say, well, let's talk on Friday around 3 p.m. I give you a call and we talk, and now I feel like I'm in the season of giving some advice or giving some truth. Or praying or whatever the situation may be, I feel like doing it. But there's sometimes when you just don't feel like it, and people, you know, they call you, hey, I'm going through it, and you don't feel like it. But the Apostle Paul says, whether you feel like it or not, your responsibility, Timothy, is to proclaim the truth, the word of God, to give Christ to those who need it. Even sometimes those who don't even want it. Do you know you cannot want something that you need? And a lot of people don't want the very thing that they need. And it's our responsibility as being the invisible church, right? To set the record straight. And the reason why I say we're the invisible church is because the invisible church are those who people, you know, you can stand around a bunch of people that look like you. Y'all got the same features, but on the inside, y'all different people. You've been made anew. You a new creation. You are of Christ, and they not been made new, and they not of Christ, but we look the same on the outside. That's what you call the invisible church. Because now you're going to come in opposition to their deceit. You're going to come into opposition to what has been holding them bondage, because you're now about to give them some truth. Now, some people would get upset because you shaking the foundation of what they thought was true, which was really a lie that they could do it. And they got it all together, and that their plans is the right plans and their thoughts is the best thoughts. God bless you, Bishop. That's not necessarily true, beloved. So you got to understand, okay? We got to proclaim the truth. We got to proclaim the truth. Listen what he says. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season or out of season. That's whether you feel like it or not. He says, you're going to have to rebuke some people. And you know, I don't rebuke people by saying I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You know what I do? I just tell the truth. That's it. I say, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I don't see it this way. This is what the Bible says. This is what God's word has to say about it. And if you don't like it, that's not my fault. I'm not the one that made up the word. I didn't make this up. Okay. This has been revealed to me, and I'm trying to reveal it to you. Now, whether you want to see, that's on you. But my prayer is that God gives you the eyes to see and the ears to hear the truth of God's word. You got to rebuke some people, and I rebuke them by simply giving them the truth. You don't necessarily got to say, I rebuke you, because some people just shut you down right then. But you can give them a strong rebuke by bringing the truth to their error. If they uneducated about something, all you gotta do is educate them. And honey, let me tell you something, that's a big of a blow right there. That is a strong rebuke, because they go by and they think about it like, ooh, I know they just checked me. Huh? God has given you the anointing to check people with the truth. He says, correct and encourage with great patience. Now, I know that to be true, because I'm the encourager. And yeah, I'm always encouraging people, like, just, you know, on a day-to-day basis. When I go out and hang out with my friends and stuff like that, one of the things about it is that they always like to come over and talk to me, because I'm always going to give them an encouraging word. I'm not going to allow the darkness of somebody else's soul to dim my day. You know, I'm going to always shine my light to make sure that if they can't see the light before they came and sat next to me or start talking to me, they going to see the light. Because I don't like the activity of darkness taking place within the crevices of my soul. So I'm always holding fast to those things which are true and wholesome and right and hopeful and, you know, grateful and of health and, you know, wealth. And I'm not thinking poor and sick and lonely and all that, you know. I don't receive those type of spirits in my life. So I'm always an encouraging person. Even when it's looking bad, I encourage myself. And so I just, you know, I understand when the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, he says, encourage with great patience. He says, and teaching. You know, that's why I took the moment out to make this video, because I'm giving a lesson on the dynamics of spiritual opposition. In verse 3, it says, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Remember, I told you that truth is not subjective. Truth is not about how I feel and what I want and how I want it. Truth is about who Christ is and what Christ says and eternal life and all those things that will never change because God is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the light, the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. He is the truth and he never changes. He's always the same every day. Glory to God. And we can depend on that. I like that. Because see, Jesus is always a friend that stick closer to a brother, not sometimes. You know how some people, they'll switch out on you. They'll be your brother, your sister today, and tomorrow they'll switch up, and you don't even know what to depend on. One day they'll pick you up, but the next day they won't come. Come on now, somebody. One day they'll let you live in their place, and then the next day they'll put you out because they'll change. They ain't the truth. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus will never change. If he says, I'll be there, I'll be there. You better rest assured. You can take it to the banks of eternity and cash it in, and it'll last you forever because he's the truth. And these people are going to multiply teachers for themselves that want to teach what they want people to hear. Or they want to teach out of their own vain imaginations, giving you all these false prophecies and proper lies. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, in closing, beloved, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I believe that God is taking you from glory to glory. He's taking you from faith to faith. He's taking you from strength to strength. Every time that you behold the truth, every time that you give that truth to another, you are intensifying the glory of God upon your life. He's taking you from glory to glory, even now. Now notice he says, but as for you, in closing, in the words of the Apostle Paul, as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. If God has called you to be a teacher, teach. If God has called you to be a preacher, preach. If God has called you to be an encourager, encourage. If God has called you to be a prophet, speak. If God has called you to be a pastor, lead the people of God to the source of Jesus Christ. Fulfill your ministry. The Bible says here, exercise self-control. To control yourself means to be able to stop, start, or change anything in your life. If there's a bad habit, you can stop it and you can change it. If there's a good habit, you can continue it and not change it. If there's a bad thought, you can exchange it for a good one. You have the power of self-control. You're able to stop, start, and change anything in your life that's outside of the will of God. And you're able to do that in everything. That means that nothing will be able to conquer you because you have self-control. You have a self-government that comes because you have the truth. And that truth is your foundation. And now you are taking the kingdom that has come unto you and you're giving it to somebody else. That's what makes you legislate for God in the earth. That's what makes you a king and a king's kid and a child of God and an advancer of the kingdom of God. And so the dynamic of opposition is coming against things that are in error, and the spiritual opposition that's going to come against you, because error always wants to parade itself as truth. But truth can never be denied if it's explained and if it's given, freely given. Freely have you received. Freely give the truth of God. Preach the word. Stand up for truth. Don't stop. No matter what comes, hardship, sickness, death, nothing is going to separate us from the truth of God's love that's found only in Christ Jesus. Now, it would be amiss to go all of this way and not give you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you're going to be saved from deception. You're going to be saved from the religious spirit that's found rampant in the invisible church. And you're going to, that's found rampant in the visible church. But you're going to become the invisible church, taking the kingdom of God into areas that have never been explored by the gospel. And this great task has been given to you. So I charge you, just like the Apostle Paul charged Timothy, to preach the word, stand fast. God is taking you from one level of glory to another level of glory. Your life would be glorious if you hold fast to the truth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful session, understanding the dynamics of spiritual opposition. Give us strength, Lord. Give us clarity. Give us your wisdom and your understanding as we disperse your knowledge abroad. Let us do it with sincerity of heart and clarity of speech for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And if you don't know Jesus, you can say something along this line: Lord, come into my life. I believe that you are the truth. I believe that you died on the cross. You were buried. You rose again. You ascended on high, you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you're interceding on our behalf. Thank you for coming into our lives. Thank you for changing my heart, giving me a new heart and a loving experience with you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Now, if you made that confession of faith, and if you believe that in your heart, I want to encourage you to get in contact with other believers, people of like faith. Go to one of the visible churches on the corner that preach the Bible. Get involved and sit up under some good sound teaching that's teaching you the word of God that's found in the Bible. For more information about what I believe and how I believe it, the link is in the description. You can always go to ApostleHerbieBank.com for more information. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.